I don't know about you, but even reading the gospel, I find the words of Jesus in today's gospel downright shocking. I mean, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life. You know, at first you think, oh, come on. He can't be saying that. Even the Jews in the gospel today, it says, the Jews said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat and drink his blood? And at that moment, Jesus could have, if he didn't mean it, he could have said, oh, no, I'm sorry. You misunderstood me. I was speaking figuratively. Did you notice he didn't do that? He didn't do that. He even doubled down on it. He said, unless you eat my flesh, I tell you, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have life in you. Now, right after that, a boatload of his, quote, followers decided not to continue following him. Because he basically started, I mean, they started saying, this dude is crazy. What's he doing? And so I think it's important for us. You know, most of us Catholics, we've grown up with that. So if you go and you talk to most people, you say, oh, what's the Eucharist? Oh, that's the body and blood of Jesus. And we do it without thinking. Well, I want you to try and think this through from kind of a different ear, like if you were hearing it for the first time, because it really does a job on your brain. Now, what I'm going to try to do is just to give you a little bit of some different perspectives on it that may help you to understand what he is talking about. First thing I want you to try and think of is, how do you remember people whom you love who have died? Now, think about this. I'll talk about my own mom. My mom and my dad. Both mom and dad are dead. Now, when I want to be present to them, I have to remember them. Now, I can look at a picture of my mom and my dad, and I can remember them mentally. But in no way I would say that mom and dad are present. I have them in my memory. That's not them. It's my memory of them. And so the only way we have of bringing people to people who have died to help to be near them is to remember them in our minds. Now, Jesus, being a human being and, you know, remembering other people who have died before him, was not satisfied with just remember me. Because if you think about it, even though you may think of people who have been in your life, that in no way puts you in their presence. You may feel like it sometimes, but it isn't true. You're not in their presence. And so the question that must have been present to Jesus is how to make aware the generations that were going to be after the first disciples, how to make them aware that that he was present to them. Because ultimately, Jesus, I find it interesting, because he goes between my flesh and my blood, and then he reminds us by saying, I am the bread of life. I am. So, in other words, it's like, look, if you, you're not going to do this because you're not cannibals, but if you take a slice of a human being and you eat them, you're not eating the person. You may be eating part of his hand or something like that. But that's not the person. Even if you become blood brothers, you're not, the person is not there. But Jesus was talking about something totally different. And in order to do that, to remember, to kind of begin to understand this a little bit better, you have to go to the Old Testament. And you have to go not only to the Old Testament, you have to go to the ancient peoples of the Old Testament, even those who were not Jewish, and try and understand better the way that they worshiped God. Now, in the ancient world, if you wanted to worship God, you would give to the god or to the gods a gift, okay? See, we don't think this way anymore, but in the ancient world, they didn't know who God was. You know, if you ask most kids, most people today, who is God? And if you're in a Christian country, oh, God is love. But that was the farthest thing from the time of, in the heads of the people in the ancient world. To them, the gods were crazy. They were the god of thunder, the god of the seas, the god of wind, you know, all these different gods. And these guys were not pleasant. You had to appease them. And so when you appease a god, how do you appease a person? Well, you're nice to them, and maybe you give them a gift. And the greater the gift, well, that can translate into the greater the appeasement. And so in the ancient world, the things that they had that were of greatest value to them was their animals or their grain. They were farmers or hunters. And so the Jews and other people in the ancient world, whenever they would worship God, it wasn't like coming to church is today, okay? If you were going to worship God, you would say, take a ram or a lamb, and you would offer it to the god. You would say, okay, God, Jupiter or Zeus or even Yahweh, you would say, here is this gift. Now, the question still becomes, try to think like an ancient person. How do you get this lamb up to God? How do you get it up there to give it to him as a gift? Well, in the ancient world, the practice was you burn it. You kill it to know that that animal is no longer ours, that it has left this life, and then you take the animal and you burn it. Why? Because the smoke goes up. And in the ancient world, people thought God was up there. Okay? And so you burned it. And of course, everybody imagined the gods going, barbecue. You know? They would imagine that. So the question then becomes is, so what do you do with the burnt meat? What do you do with it? Well, you're not going to throw it away. And so the ancient tradition is you take the burnt meat and you cut it up. You give it to the people. They take it away and they cut it up and they give it, they eat it themselves. And that is the earliest forms of communion. You eat the burnt flesh of the lamb that you have sacrificed. Now, here's another interesting part. For the Jews, they did that too. They did that too. But the only thing that was totally different for them was that in Leviticus, it says that they are not to drink or eat any of the blood that is from the animal. Because the blood was considered in the ancient world to be the life force of an animal. And the life force of an animal was what belonged to God. It was His alone. And so the Jews were welcome to eat the lamb. They were not welcome at all, prohibited from drinking the blood, because it was the life of the animal. Now, in the pagan world, pagans would do the same thing. They would kill, and they would burn, and then they would eat. But the pagans would collect the blood before they killed the animal, before they burnt the animal, and then they would drink it. Now, and this happens today in many tribes in different places. Why would they drink the blood? Because the blood was considered the power, the life of the animal. And though the Jews understood that that belonged to God, the pagans, say if they were sacrificing especially a bull, sometimes if you were doing a big sacrifice, you would sacrifice a bull. Well, you would not only want the meat of the bull, you would want the strength and the life force of the bull. So what would you do? You would drink the blood, because that gave you the life force of the bull. Now, I see some of you going, like that. Every time you order a steak rare or a medium rare, you're doing the same thing. So don't come, I like my steaks medium rare. Right? So that was the standard practice. Now, you got to remember, everybody thought like that. Everybody thought like that. And so Jesus is about to do something that He wants to have people understand it in a different way. Now, why? Later on in the Mass, you're going to hear me say, I will hold up the host, and I will say, behold Jesus, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Now, that would have been understood that He was taking the place of the sacrifice that was done in the temple. Now, let me tell you, when they did sacrifices in the temple, it was not pretty. I mean, you would walk in to make your sacrifice, and you'd be making standing in a room. You could be in a room with blood that deep on your feet. I mean, this was kind of gross stuff, but that's how they understood. And by the way, periodically they would do, of course, human sacrifices. Now, I don't have any evidence that they would eat the human beings, but human beings were sacrificed, both in the Americas, and we know that the Aztecs and Mayans and several other people in Europe did it. And so it was a normal way of doing it. Jesus understands that what He's about to do, allow Himself to be crucified, He wants people to understand that what He's about to do is abolish all of the sacrifice of animals. You know, let me back up here a minute. In Leviticus, you hear God saying, thus says the Lord, you shall take a ram and you shall open it up and you shall take its entrails and do this and that, and then you will burn it as an offering to me. Thus says the Lord. And then you turn pages and you go to, for example, Isaiah the prophet. And Isaiah, 700-800 years later, Isaiah says, thus says the Lord, who the hell asked you for these stupid sacrifices? They are loathsome to me. I the animals of the world all belong to me. What the heck are you doing with all these sacrifices? They stink. Okay? And so you're going, excuse me, wait a minute, didn't you say back here? And of course, that what's happening is that the understanding of God is progressing, and they're getting closer to a deeper understanding of God. And ultimately, this is another homily, But Jesus is the final understanding of God. Okay? He is the final revelation of God. That's why periodically you hear Jesus saying, "You have heard it said that, dot, dot, dot." And then he quotes the Old Testament. And then he says, "But I say to you." And he revises the Old Testament. So, Jesus knows that this is what they do in the temple. He's seen it done a ton of times. And by the way, when they finished the sacrifice, I learned this recently, that what they would do is they would take, for example, the lamb, and this lamb was like you would see it in a butcher shop. The lamb was sliced down the middle, okay, and the two legs were like this. Okay? They were like that. And they would put it on a stick, the stick through the lamb, and they would spread the two arms or the two legs on the stick, on another stick that crossed it. It looked just like a cross. And so when you were walking out of the temple with your sacrificed lamb, it looked like a crucified lamb. It looked like it. You were taking it home to eat. It already looked like it. So Jesus is aware of all of this. And then he says to them, now remember, they're used to eating the meat. They're not going to waste the meat. This was the earliest form of communion. They offered the sacrifice to God, and then they took the meat and they shared it amongst each other. Now Jesus is standing there, and he knows he is going to be the Lamb of God. He is going to take the place and he is going to be crucified. And he's going to look exactly like a lamb after the sacrifice. And he says to them, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man. Now why here? Stop right there. Why? How did I start this homily? How can you be in common union with a person that you have lost? The only way you can is by remembering them. And that, folks, is a fairly superficial way. I can sit in my office and I can look at a picture of my mom and my dad and I can remember them. But that isn't a tremendous comfort yet to me, because I'm not present to them. So what if Jesus wanted to say, no, 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 that's not enough. That's not what I mean. Remember who this dude is. This is God himself become human. He can do whatever the heck he wants to do. So if he wants to make himself present, he's got to do something. Because you see, memory is not enough. And by the way, this is something that you're going to notice today. In many of our separated brothers and sisters, we sometimes call them Protestants, okay? Like, I was recently at a Protestant church in which I was there doing a wedding. And during the wedding, they decided to do communion. Now, all that I saw was, you ever gone to a restaurant and you ask for cream for your coffee and you get these little tubs, you know, like that, and they're full of cream inside and you remove the top? Okay. What I saw was these little tubs and they were passing them out. Okay. And in other places I just saw these little cups of wine and they were passing them. They were not wine, they were grape juice. And then, without much ceremony, they would just eat a little piece of bread and drink it. And yeah, we remember Jesus. But there was it was a sense of, yeah, we're remembering him. There was no sense of presence. A few years ago, I went to a church down the street. I don't remember the name of the church. It was not a Catholic church. It was a Protestant church. And as I was walking out of the church, on my right, I see a table. And on that table, there was a huge silver bowl. And this huge silver bowl was full of these little tubs. And I said to the pastor, what is that? Because they weren't white, you know, like cream. They were like, they had like some red liquid in them. And he said, oh, that's portable communion. And I went, what? What's portable communion? He says, well, it's kind of like, you know, if you go to play golf and you want to remember Jesus for the nice day and the beautiful, you can take these out and you can say, we remember you, Jesus. And they take the bread and then they drink the little grape juice. That's remembering. Okay, that's remembering. But that's not what Jesus was saying. So what does he do? Remembering that every single one of those people remembers that they eat the sacrifice. Jesus says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Now, remember, at that moment, when the Jews said, hey, what are you saying? That can't be true. How are you going to do that? Jesus could have corrected himself. Jesus could have said, hey, no, I'm sorry. You misunderstood me. That's not what I meant. But Jesus doubles down, does the exact opposite. He says, I tell you, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now, the flesh, he was talking about the practice of eating part of the lamb, of being in communion with the sacrifice. But what about drinking the blood? Isn't it prohibited in the Old Testament? And the answer is yes. But remember who's talking to you. This is not any guy. Jesus has been constantly saying, you have heard it said, and then quotes the Old Testament, and then he changes it. All of a sudden, he is saying, unless you drink my blood. Why? What is blood in the minds of the people? It's the life force. The life force. Drinking his blood means you're not only in common union physically with him, his blood is pulsing through your veins. This is not remembering, folks. You're not remembering Jesus. What is happening when Jesus was doing this, he was saying, I am there. This is not, I'm in your mind because you deign to remember me. I am there. And because he is God, he can take bread and he will do so at the Last Supper. He will take the bread. They have heard this before. Remember, these are the disciples who heard him say this. And all of a sudden they're at the Last Supper and Jesus takes a piece of bread and he says, eat it. This is my body. And then he takes a cup of wine and then he says, drink from it. This is the cup of my blood. The blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you. And it will be shed for you and for others so that sin may be forgiven. It's at that moment that the apostles, you can imagine the apostles must have just been, you know, freaked out because this is something totally different. Folks, that's what we as Catholics believe. We as Catholics are not walking around in here saying, oh, we're here remembering Jesus. Yes, we're doing this in memory, but it's his very person that is amongst us. Jesus is in your stomach, part of your blood, part of your cell. That's why every time when Jesus would say, whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers or sisters, you did it to me. This is not somebody like me. And so today, it's an important day because it's a day in which we have to recognize what the celebration, when you go to communion, you're not just receiving little holy bread. Sometimes people say, is this bread blessed? No, it's not blessed. It's what we call consecrated, meaning it is the very presence of the Lord. The very presence of the Lord. And sometimes I wish that instead of saying, I'm going to communion, we would say, I'm going to receive the Lord. And by the way, don't just focus on the second part of the Mass. The first part of the Mass, the readings, the word of the Lord. If you want to get to know somebody and to be close to them, is it enough to just hug them and give them a kiss without listening to them? Why? Because even though kissing them and hugging them and being physically close and in common union with them is important, the meaning of their lives is given to you by the word. And so when you come to the Eucharist, Jesus is present not only in the bread and the wine, but in his word. And so it's a total immersion. You should be marinated in Jesus. If you are a disciple of Jesus, you should be totally marinated in him. And you should act like him. That's the whole point. That you're supposed to put on the mind of Christ and start thinking like him. Not just, oh yeah, I received communion. That's not it. And so today's gospel is probably one of the most hard-hitting gospels, because I always think it was an opportunity for Jesus to back off. And what did he do? He didn't back off. He doubled down. He doubled down and he said, unless you eat me, you have no life in you. They're very rough words, but I think it's exactly what he meant. That's why the Catholic Church doesn't back down on that. We're his disciples and we're not in the business of watering it down. The body, the blood, the soul and divinity of the person of Jesus. That's who's present you're about to be in. Thanks for listening to me.